Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Tottenham story is this. It's time to change the situation if Tottenham want to change.
I love to win, mate. That's the main thing. Hopefully I can fulfil those dreams and aspirations of every Tottenham supporter.
And still Ricky Villa! What a fantastic run! He scored!
That's going to have a crack. He is, you know. Oh, he's there!
Kane is the record!
Here's Lucas Moura. Oh, they done it!
I'm loving big engines instead.
Guess I'm a Spurs fan now then.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Tottenham Way. After the international break, I'm Tom Barkley from The Sun. I'm joined by Tom Allnut of The Times. We're actually at Tottenham's training ground right now after listening to Ange Postecoglou's press conference previewing the Aston Villa game. And I think first of all, Tom, given most Spurs fans will be aware of everything, but maybe a bit of a state of play of the injury and suspension situation might be a good place to start. So where are we at? Who's out going into this particular game?
Hi, well, I don't say hi, Tom, do I? Because I can see you here, but hi, everyone. Yeah, it's true. You come back from the international break and you, I always just feel like I need to kind of catch up again on where we were before. And, you know, it feels like ages ago we last saw Tottenham play. And everyone obviously knows, you know, the massive amounts of injuries and suspensions. But I guess, you know, it's worth just kind of running through the list. I mean, Maddison, obviously, we know is out until, what, January, we kind of expect, certainly post-New Year. Richarlison, groin surgery. They said before the international break, didn't they? They thought it might be kind of a couple of weeks after the international break. So I imagine
you said a month at the time, and it's been a couple of weeks, isn't it? So hopefully halfway through.
So he should be back for kind of the dense Christmas period at least. Anyway,
fingers crossed.
Van de Ven much further away.
Yeah, just on Van de Ven and Maddison, he was asked about them, and he said there's no update. So it doesn't anyone hoping they don't come back quicker than expected doesn't seems they'll be disappointed.
Perisic we know about from the beginning of the season, out for most of the season. Udogi we sort of think maybe is available again.
No, he was suspended. It wasn't an injury, so he's back from suspension. So
there you
he
go.
Should be fine.
Yeah, Bissouma is suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Sessegnon out. Romero.
He's
suspended, and Solomon's still out, and that's, I think, just about it, isn't it?
Pretty much, but there's also, off the back of that press conference, we've now learned that Ashley Phillips, who we wondered if he might even be chucked straight in after Romero and Van de Ven got injured, particularly as he's known for being quite quick, and obviously it was Dyer and Davis at Wolves, but he is now out as well after picking up an injury for the England youth team, and it sounds like he might be out for a little while. It's an ankle injury, so even though he probably wouldn't have started, that is quite a blow just because they're so short there.
Yeah, and you say that, and we did wonder, didn't we, after sort of Wolves, it would have been quite a sort of Ange thing to do, I think, to think actually with Davis and Dyer didn't quite work, let's go back to kind of, you know, clean slate, bring in a young player who's kind of can be moulded into the system in the correct way, even if he's not quite ready. It would have been an interesting thing if he had been fit to see if he might have thrown him in. Probably not, but it's not an option now.
Couldn't disagree. I mean, that's kind of why we thought he might come in the first place, just because of Ange. Any other manager, probably not. But as you say, that's not an option now. I wonder if there's been, you know, a lot of Spurs fans have been following the progress of Alfie Dorrington quite closely, a sort of promising youth player who I think was on the bench at Wolves along with Phillips. So obviously he goes sort of higher up the pecking order, I suppose, if there are any more injuries. So maybe sort of good news, albeit wouldn't phrase it that way, for him personally. But also, probably way more of a blow is the fact that we're not sure if Pap Sarr, he's come back from international duty with Senegal with a bit of an issue, as Ange put it, and he didn't train today being Friday, so the game is on Sunday, so they'll have to wait and see. But I mean, how do you sum up Pap Sarr's influence this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's really not what they need, is it? I mean, just kind of an additional kind of niggling injury or knock, whatever it is, it's just not what Spurs need at the moment. And he has been really key, I think, Pap Sarr. I mean, it's sort of low profile maybe behind the kind of likes of Bissouma and Son and Van de Ven and Romero and all the ones we kind of have talked about at length. But Sarr, I think, has been right there. And Postecoglou has said a few times, I think, occasionally even unprompted, about how Sarr's ability to kind of get around the pitch and to provide that energy and dynamism. But also, I think, you know, it's not just about athleticism with him. It's his quality on the ball, ability to sort of be on the edge of the box sometimes, but also be back defending. You know, he really is a sort of complete all-round midfielder. So he'll take some replacing. What do you think will be the... how do they go about now picking a kind of a midfield three?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a headache. I mean, Sarr, interestingly, in that Wolves game, given he's played on the right of this midfield three, or the midfield two ahead of Bissouma all season with Maddison on the left, he actually switched to the left against Wolves to sort of accommodate Højbjerg. But yeah, I think him being out is quite a blow for all those reasons you just mentioned. But, you know, it's funny that the first game this season, it was actually Skip who started rather than Sarr. And he's become a bit of the forgotten man, really, this season. Coming out on in games and showing the sort of willing that he always does. But he hasn't sort of nailed down a first team spot. You'd be looking at someone like that as looking at this as an opportunity for him. But I wonder if it's more likely he turns to the South Americans. So we always thought that Rodrigo Bentancur, when he was fit, would probably claim Sarr's place in this team. He's obviously not long since back from an ACL injury, one of the worst injuries you can have in football. But he did play 86 minutes for Uruguay in the international break, his first start of the season. Now, they'll have to obviously manage his minutes, but given they've got these injury issues, I wonder if he does come in for his first start against a club who actually tried to sign him once, Villa, before Spurs got him. And then comes Giovanni Lo Celso, obviously a player who thrived, to be fair, on loan under Unai Emery, the manager that Spurs come up against this weekend, when he was on loan under Emery's tutelage at Villarreal. It's never really happened for him at Spurs, but Ange was impressed with him in pre-season. He stuck with him. He gave him a start in the League Cup against Fulham. He got injured after that, so that hasn't helped his progress. But with his sort of natural creative instincts, he does seem the most obvious replacement for James Maddison in this team. Didn't start against Wolves, but I wonder if this is the time, if there ever is going to be a time, for Gio. What do you think?
I think so. I feel like we have said this before with Lo Celso, you know, where he has had opportunities to kind of come in and maybe hasn't quite taken them. I mean, Ange in the presser today was talking a lot about, you know, he was keen to kind of point out that his season has been disrupted, you know, by injuries and that is a fair thing. I mean, I think sometimes from the outside we think, well, look at all these players who have thrived since Postecoglou came in. But, you know, sometimes there are two or three who just haven't quite had that opportunity. I mean, even Johnson is sort of one of those, yet, isn't he? I mean, he kind of got in the team and then had an injury and it just hasn't quite... We might see now in the next coming weeks that someone like Johnson really, really excels and kicks on. And maybe that's going to be the case for Lo Celso. He's now fit. He's now ready to play. Maybe he can slot in and we can kind of go back to seeing Lo Celso that we did see very briefly under Mourinho, where he was one of the team's best players. He looked like he really had the sort of flow and rhythm about his game, which we have seen in Spain, you know, much more regularly. And I guess that always sort of raises the question is he the kind of player who just can play in La Liga, where the time on the ball is a lot more, where teams press a lot less, and actually in the Premier League it just doesn't quite suit him. And I think those question marks will kind of remain until he can put together another long stint of form. But I do think this system that Ange plays is quite well suited to him. I mean, in Spain, whenever he played at his best, and it was the same with Emery, he was playing further forward. I wouldn't say like a number 10. I think that almost kind of implies a bit more sort of luxury than it was. But it was certainly somewhere between a 10 and an 8, you know, off the striker, very much expected to kind of get in the box. Almost a bit like Bellingham does, I think, for England, you know. And I think this system with the Ange plays, where he gives his two eights the freedom to get forward. If we're looking at kind of a Maddison replacement, someone who can go in there and have that ability on the ball, that kind of pause on the ball to create and find passes through the lines, I think Lo Celso has got all of that in spades. It's just, I think, partly the tempo and the time. I do wonder also about the kind of mental aspects, you know, with Lo Celso, whether he can adjust to the kind of the pace and the physicality and the demands to be consistent, and not just consistency over a period of time of games, but actually within games, because sometimes you can see him for flickers, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes he can be, you know, right on it, and then he just disappears and comes in and out. And I think at the top level in the Premier League, and when you're playing for sort of a club like Spurs, you have to be there all the time, you know. And I think this is a great opportunity now for him to come into a team that, to be honest, I mean, we wouldn't have said this 2 or 3 weeks ago, but they need him.
They do. I mean, just hearing you talk there about his, you know, suitability for the Premier League, my suspicion, just based on the evidence we've seen so far, is that I am not convinced yet that he suits the Premier League. He may well end up being one of those players who absolutely is on fire in another league, and you just can't understand why he couldn't do it over here. Let's hope not.
It's worth saying, by the way, that if Spurs put him up for sale in January or next summer, there will be a queue of clubs, you know, ready to take him, particularly back in Spain. I mean, you know, Barcelona, I've always had an interest in Lascelles, so he would very much be on the list of, you know, all the kind of top 4 or 5, Atletico, Sevilla, Valencia, you know, Villarreal. All of these clubs have all seen Lascelles doing it week in, week out in La Liga. Here in the Premier League, we haven't seen it yet, and maybe we will in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that leads us onto the transfer window, but just another word on Lascelles. I mean, it's slightly forgotten in that defeat at Wolves when they were 1-0 up. He came on off the bench, and he had a great strike, which was a really good save from Jose Sarr. Had that gone in, you know, obviously it would have been a different game, but it showed his sort of goal threat. It's not just his creativity. I think he's got a good strike on the ball as well, as he showed in pre-season too. You know, regarding transfers and him, my understanding is that Spurs aren't looking to let him go. Obviously, Barcelona have got a long-standing interest and have a problem now with Gavi's major injury. But I don't think Spurs are going to be doing anyone any favours with a sort of loan deal. I guess it could be different if there was a loan with an obligation at some point, but my understanding is, particularly with, you know, African Cup of Nations coming up, with Sarr and Bissouma not being there, and plus Sonny as well going off to the Asia Cup, albeit in a different position, but just another key player, that the likes of Højbjerg, the likes of Lascelles, they are looking to keep hold of. Now, obviously, if they get an offer they can't refuse, basically, for one of their, let's be honest, fringe players, who probably isn't the long-term solution in the Ange Postecoglou project, unless they can completely win him over in the next sort of few weeks, then that could change things. Or, you know, if he pushes for a move, if he doesn't feel like he is getting enough game time, you know, this is a guy who started for Argentina against Brazil the other day, would have been in the World Cup winning squad, or at least in the squad, and, you know, who knows how it worked out, but he was due to play if he wasn't injured. So he's, you know, his stock is high elsewhere. But
they don't need to replace. I think, you know, if Spurs even are thinking about, and I agree with you, I don't see it happening in January. The only way, I think, is if they had a ready-made, you know, replacement, let's say a Conor Gallagher or someone like that, ready to come in. They thought, okay, we'll lose the sales for X amount, and we buy this person either for the same or less, you know, and we just make that rotation. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense right now.
Not sport. Really, and it's not like they do loads of business in January. January is, you know, it's the biggest cliche in football. It's a difficult window generally. I mean, Conor Gallagher's an interesting one because they were interested. He still hasn't signed that new contract at Chelsea, but he himself, who's took Chelsea through and through and been given the captaincy in Reece James's absence, has even gone on the record saying it will get done, and he's playing regularly now for Pochettino, so I can't really see that one happening. But, I think
Tottenham through and through, Chelsea through and through, these days is much more interchangeable than
that is true. Well, yeah, that's Poch proof, so you know, you never know. But I guess let's move it on to the transfer window. Just start off with what Ange said today about that. It was quite interesting. I don't know what else you'd expect him to say, but he was asked about January business, given, you know, the injury headache they've got, and he did say something along the lines of the planning for January is well underway. Johan Lang, who's come in as technical director, or sporting director, I can't remember his title now, has been leading the way on that. Ange doesn't feel like he's going to get too involved until a bit further down the line, obviously he's got his hands full with preparation for the team at the moment. But it does, if I was a Spurs fan, I would be optimistic there would be some business. And my sort of understanding really at the moment is that if there is a player that comes in, it's most likely to be a centre-back, which makes a lot of sense given their problems there. Albeit, you know, I've seen there's been a suggestion of Mark Guehi recently, who in a lot of ways ticks a lot of boxes, albeit would be an expensive option, given he's, you know, young, English, quick. But I very much see Romero and Van de Ven being the first choice pair long term for the Ange Postecoglou sort of tenure, as long as they stay. So if you were Mark Guehi, would you really want to come in as a backup? I can't really see that one personally. But yeah, centre back generally,
particularly with England, you know, the summer, Guehi's right in there, isn't he, for the Euro squad. I mean, it would be a big risk on his part to go into a squad and then suddenly not be, you know, first choice, not be playing.
Yeah, for sure. And if you look at someone like Man United or maybe even Newcastle, they look like they've got a centre back option coming up, you know, in the future where he could be a regular starter there. So I'd be surprised on that one personally. You know, someone like Lloyd Kelly at Bournemouth, who can play left back as well, to me makes a bit more sense. But how do you envisage January going into this? I mean, do you see them spending a lot of cash, or is it going to be more likely that it's done in a slightly different way?
Well, it's interesting because we always... Oh, sorry, my phone ringing. Let me just put that down. I think we traditionally always say, I mean, January is a difficult window, etc. And for a long time, it felt like it wasn't really a window that Tottenham were very comfortable buying in. Equally, you know, recently, that we have sort of seen that not being proven, right? I mean, with the Bentancur, Kulusevski window, Pedro Porro came in January, didn't he? Which was a big outlay last season, was it? So they have shown a willingness in more recent years to kind of do business.
That was a big outlay, but remember, it was a loan with an obligation. So basically, they spent the money in the summer. And that's
true.
Again, what I've sort of been led to believe is that they're going to be a little bit creative if they're going to spend money this January, because I think the Kane money's been spent already. I think they planned on that already. And I know it's frustrating to hear from Spurs fans, but you know, they signed Johnson for, 47.5 million. Van de Ven, Madison for big money too. And they're not in Europe, so they're not getting that extra finance. So I wouldn't be surprised that it might be a similar thing with loans to, with obligations, if they do get someone in. And just, it's funny you bring those players up. It felt like it really had to happen, those windows, because of Conte, how much he was pushing for those signings. Like, he needed signings. He went very much on the record about the importance of it. I don't know if I get the same vibe with that. I don't know, you know, if he seems more like the kind of manager, if nothing happened, you just be like, right, get on with it.
Well, that's the dream, isn't it, for Daniel Levy, you know, to have a manager who doesn't demand stuff, you know, exactly when he wants it, for everything to be slightly calmer and more, let's put it generously, sort of long-term, you know. Yeah, I mean, I also think that Postecoglou needs to, you know, push for signings. The squad needs it. I mean, yes, Spurs aren't in Europe. Yes, they're not in the League Cup anymore. But you know, this squad is currently very stretched, and even Levy and Lange must be seeing this team and thinking, look, you know, they're fourth at the moment, had a brilliant start. The impact Ange has made in such a short space of time, with all the caveats that we know about with Kane and the injuries, etc., etc. You know, why wouldn't we back this guy? Like, why wouldn't we give him more tools to work with, you know, for the second half of the season? And also, it's a gamble, in my opinion, that's very much worth taking. You look at how far Chelsea are behind, how much ground they have to make up. You look where Manchester United are. This is a season where we think there could be five Champions League places. If we're talking about Aston Villa being in the mix for Champions League qualification, then this is a massive opportunity for Tottenham this season. You know, if they go through the next 2 or 3 months into January and February stuttering against clubs like Wolves, because ultimately they're having to play defenders they can't trust and defenders that don't fit the Postecoglou system, then, you know, that is a dereliction of duty in a way, because Postecoglou is creating something here and they have momentum that they can get behind. So I think, you know, they should do business. My impression is that they have some things lined up ready to go for fairly soon in the window. Ange has kind of referred to it a couple of times. I don't necessarily think he would do that if he wasn't fairly confident of a couple of deals getting done, and I think they know they have to be quite active in this market. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have some stuff ready to go in the first couple of weeks, and maybe it feels like a big promise for Tottenham, but maybe we won't see a kind of rush in the last kind of week. But let's see.
We'll see. To wrap it up, let's just look ahead to the game at Villa. You know, first thing that sort of strikes me in considering both teams is how quickly both managers have imprinted their style on both clubs. I mean, Villa looks in a bit of a mess post Steven Gerrard, but Unai Emery, I mean, turned him around in sort of double quick time. He's a manager who's been doing it for a long time, hasn't he? Just like Ange, he knows what he wants, goes and does it, and you can't be anything but impressed. The thing is with Villa compared to Spurs right now is he's got the tools to do what he wants to do, whereas Ange has suddenly become super hamstrung by all these injuries, and, you know, particularly with the idea of Ollie Watkins running in behind against a high line of Dyer and Davis, who I actually thought did pretty well, to be honest, against Wolves till the end, will have Spurs fans worried, and I would say probably rightly so.
Yeah, I mean, I think Villa have got some weapons that can hurt Tottenham. You know, they've got pace and attack. They will be, you know, very looking at that high line against Chelsea, for example, and they were looking at Dyren Davies at centre half and thinking that's definitely a defence they can get at. Equally, you know, their away record has been nothing like their home record. You know, they've been really imperious under Emery at Villa Park, but away from home, they haven't been anywhere near as impressive. I mean, I think Tottenham can be positive. Like, if you look at, yes, there's a lot of you know, noise and talk around all the players they're missing. We know that. But equally, if you look at their first 11, you know, they're going to be playing. There are some holes here, but, you know, they still have a team that is pretty good. You know, they've still got a very good informed Son. They've still got Johnson now back and Kulusevski. That's a very, you know, threatening front three. Would I swap Villa's front three for Spurs' front three, even without Maddison? I don't think so. You've got Bentancur, who, if we think he's back, that's a massive, massive plus. You know, and yes, I personally think that probably they would have liked maybe another game or two, possibly just to kind of bring him on or play him for an hour, you know, and that kind of thing. I think he's now played three games as he kind of came on in the last minute. He then came on at 60 and then he's played 60 minutes, right? And then he's now played, what, you said 86, was it, for Argentina? So, I mean, he's...
Uruguay.
For Uruguay. So, you know, he's got minutes in his legs now, and it might be a bit sooner, but if he can come in, and yes, it might take a while for him to get back to his best, but that's still a massive plus for Tottenham. You know, Emery's a fantastic coach. You know, he's like Postecoglou. He makes players better ultimately, and he's very meticulous in his planning, very meticulous in being able to plan against teams, particularly who have very strong identities. You know, and I think he will look at the kind of Tottenham way they're playing, and he will know they're not going to change, they're not going to adjust, and he will spend the whole of the international break poring over videos and statistics. And in a way, I wonder if this is the kind of game that will suit Emery in the way he organises his sides. But I do think Spurs at home against Villa have a good chance, and I think it is quite a pivotal game, because it's not only fourth against fifth, but you feel that if Tottenham go into the Manchester City match next week on the back of three defeats, then, you know, they could be staring at four defeats in a row, and then suddenly the narrative kind of almost starts to, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, the narrative starts to dictate the mood and the momentum. So I think, you know, even a point here would be a decent result for Spurs, and I actually think they've got a good chance of winning.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think for that reason, the run of results, if they do lose, it could be quite pivotal. And it feels like a bit of a six-pointer for the European places. There are going to be a lot of those this season with the competition they're up against. But it, as you say, a real sort of interesting tactical battle between two excellent coaches. Should be a great game. And I think Spurs, as you say, should be confident despite all the injuries. But we'll find out, won't we?
It's so, going to be a tough period, isn't it? Because after Villa, well, it's Man City,
yeah.
West Ham, which is never an easy game for Tottenham, Newcastle, and then I think it eases up a little bit, but we've got the, you know, very tight Christmas calendar, which will not favour Spurs in their current state. So it is going to be a difficult few weeks, but, you know, Spurs have to kind of get through it. I think if Spurs can get to the sort of mid-January period, when they're going to get Maddison back, Van de Ven, players are going to be back, you know, possibly some reinforcements in January, if they can get to that period and still be in contention in this kind of top four, top five area, I think they'll be really well placed.
Well, let's find out. We'll speak to you after the Villa game. Thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.